Almost Live from Nigel, it's time for this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast.
Hello, I'm Andy Dalrymple and welcome to this week's Hard Man Newspapers podcast, Almost Live from Nigel. This week, Hector Duff, World Records and the SS Ellen Vannin. To try and give you a taste of this and some of the other news that has been hitting the headlines in our print titles and of course online at iontoday.co.im, I'm joined by Newshound's Paul Hardman.
Hello.
Sam Turton.
Hiya.
Plus newspaper sales and distributions, Katie Kitchener.
Hello.
And Grace Burns.
I am.
I
sound like I don't have a department then.
You can have a department. What do you want me? I thought you're lumping you
in. Yeah,
I'm
a bit rogue. I'm in the newspaper.
You're representing.
Representing.
Right. Okay. Good week, everyone. Good week, Sam.
Yeah, not bad, yeah.
Not bad. That's good for you.
Yeah.
Glowing review.
Yeah. Good week, Paul.
Yeah, pretty good.
Plenty pretty good and not bad. We're flying this week. Good week, Kate.
Phenomenal.
Oh!
Oh! Oh, I feel like I have to top that adjective now.
Yeah.
Good week, Grace.
Yeah.
Such enthusiasm, we can fail to go wrong. Now, I'm going to talk to you about Christmas lights. Anyone see any Christmas lights out and about while they've been out doing the walk into work or whatever?
Yes.
What's the best display you've seen so far? Obviously, we're only on the 3rd of December, so...
It's definitely through Paul Rose.
Paul Rose.
Yeah. So okay. If I walk to my mum and dad's house, it's a lot... Better lights, just walking up through Paul Rose and Annika. Actually, there is one house in Ballacameen as well that has the Grinch outside. Like, he's pulling down lights from the house, which looks very cool.
Wow.
I saw that this morning. So.
Okay. Grace, have you seen any decent lights?
The one on the top of Bray Hill.
Yeah, always a good one.
Always,
the Johnsons.
They
collect for charity as well.
Oh, do they? Yeah, oh, even better.
So. Yeah, there so that's the top of Bray Hill. Paul, seen any good lights out in the wilds of the northwest?
Nothing noteworthy. No.
Nothing noteworthy. That's
Has it not reached Christmas over there yet?
Yeah, we're a bit behind.
Yeah. Time zones and
takes
such.
Takes a while to catch up.
Sam, obviously last night was the torchlight parade in Onchan. Obviously lots of lights there. About in the village?
Yeah, there was a thing done by Jack Glenn. The sort of procession thing sort of fell away a bit because the commissioner's pretty badly organised it, to be honest. Because it was meant to be like... You know,
tell us what you really think, Sam.
So Onken's band normally sort of plays and everyone walks behind them, but they sort of changed that this year, so the band were for some reason stood in the dark down in the glen and playing musical tunes.
Right.
But nobody really stopped because it was raining. So I just think that they took away from the parade, really. So
Did they actually have torches?
Yeah, they had like these things. So like there were swords that had wax on them and like a wick, so like they could be on fire. But all they were doing was people were waving them about and you're just getting wax thrown at your armour. The highlight of the night was having to push my Mini out of a mud pile. It's just out of the mud.
Hang on.
Just...
Right, you live in Onchan.
Why did you drive?
Because
he was on a date, that was why.
Oh!
With his mum.
Because it wasn't Katie's mum.
I would be honoured to take Mrs. Kitchener anyway. But I was running late and took the car.
You've gone quite red.
That's what he did yesterday and he tried to deny it. And then he was like, I'm going with my mom," and I was like, yeah, likely story.
I actually ended up going with my dad as I sent Grace a picture. I took the car and got stuck in the mud and I had to push the car out of the mud. It's horrible.
Wow.
Thanks to Billy at the Wessex who managed to get me through the car wash. It was all safe and fine by the end of the evening.
Paul, you've remembered there is sort of a significant tree in Blaff.
I forgot to mention, I don't want to do the great village a disservice, but the official Blaff Christmas tree outside the Raven.
Is it lit?
Yes, there was a switch on event actually.
And I don't mean in the modern term. I mean, like,
it's lit.
Yeah, it's lit.
And I think it was attended by a grand 10 people clapping.
Oh, nice.
The whole village.
Yeah, the whole village came out.
It's very neon striking.
Oh, well, I was going to say, I might go and say that. It's a lie.
I'll go have a look.
Yeah, well, now the Mini's out the mud. Yeah, there you go. Before we move on, I just thought on this theme, there's a cracking story in the Courier. I don't know if you did it, Paul. It's about Sulby's festivities over Christmas, and they're doing a live Advent calendar.
Oh.
So I can see you all thinking,
you have my attention.
How does that work?
They kidnapped 24 families and are holding them hostage.
In boxes. Which you can open, but only from the outside.
But apparently, this sounds amazing. I must admit, I only skim read this article because I was very excited. Various 24 different locations around the village, they will reveal a window in their house or their business over the course of the 24 days. So I said, that's amazing. So you'd be like walking around and then, oh, they've suddenly got something in their window and such like that. But I also said to Richard or something about it, it will encourage people to look through neighbours' windows.
Yeah, anyway. It's weird, isn't it?
And so if you're maybe not involved in it, you'll have people pressed against the window while you're watching EastEnders.
Yeah, you've got the curtains open, you could go past and go, oh, look, there's a topless man for number 12.
But Christmas gets you to do that anyway, because yeah, you do kind of... You see there's a light coming from there, you're like, oh, tree's up. Oh, they've got a ceiling covered in lights.
They're that doing well, look at the size of the telly. That's all right. Yeah. But yeah, so that's in the inquiry if you want to have a look at that. But it is getting, we are getting very much the Christmas feels at the moment.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on to our first news story, and it's a very sad story, Sam. Which I thought you covered beautifully, by the way, with your prose.
Yeah, I've written various things over the past 3 years, and Rad Dad writing a tribute piece to Hector Duff is right up there with Squeaky Bum Time.
Really?
It's sort of one of the things that you just like can't get
wrong. You don't want it wrong. Well, I thought you did a very good job, because, yes, the great man himself sadly passed away on Monday this week, the grand old age of 101. What a life. You know, we were saying he actually retired in the 1970s, which is longer than all of us have been alive. And has filled that time in retirement incredibly well, hasn't he?
Yeah, it's sort of one of the things. It's interesting that, sort of, if you think of it, obviously he went to war and then joins the police and becomes a driving instructor at one point and then retired again. Hector's one of these people who became more famous the older he got for his exploits during the war, and which included winning the Military Medal for Bravery. It was that he charged at a machine gun nest yeah. with what was basically a dummy rifle sort of thing, and you know, you sort of look at this and he's done that, and he was honoured in France with their highest merit and picked up as OBEBM, timbled on a best in show, won everything at some point or another. Yeah. You know, and yeah, it's you know, do you know what I found out this week? I always thought he was born in Sulby. He's born in Balath. Went to school in Sulby, and then it's sort of one of these where you just see the amount of different groups that he was involved in, who put out statements to the schools and various different charities and legions and effort, and even like off island as well. The Spirit of Normandy Trust got involved. It's just like insane when you consider everything that he managed to achieve in his life, but also the fact that it's one of the things that's easy to say, oh, greatest ever Maxman, but you're sort of looking at it going, he's definitely up there.
Yeah. They say the tribute piece you pulled together, there probably wasn't enough words. You know, you did a page on it, but you could have done probably 3 or 4.
We could have done an independent on Hector.
Fantastic. So there's more about that in this week's Manx Independent. But the funeral is Thursday, we believe, isn't it? A private funeral?
Yeah, there's a family funeral next Thursday in St. Peter's, because of course he lived in Onken in his late years. But there's a sort of public gathering at the Villa Marina next Thursday between 3 and 5, which has been put on for all the schools and any other groups who want to go and get involved.
And share stories about their time with Hector, because there's not many people that haven't got a Hector story to tell us.
No, it's sort of one of them, isn't it? Well, obviously everyone at some point has to be photographed by John Madrill. At some point everybody heard from Hector Duff, so it's...
Yeah. But yeah, a lovely man and a lovely tribute, I have to say, against Sam.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Change of speed here, Paul. We go from a world legend to a world record.
Yeah, there was another prolific Manx athletic achievement with a local gym owner from Braddon who has broke the world record for most weight deadlifted in 24 hours.
How many did he do, like 10K?
He did about 520,000 lifted over the course of 24 hours.
That is a lot of deadlifts.
So that meant he was lifting 60 kilos, which is not hard for a personal trainer like him to lift, but it is when you lift it 10 times every minute for a period of 22 hours, which is what he did, with a nap at midnight.
I was going to ask you about this, so I have lots of questions. So he had a nap. How long did he allow himself to nap?
1 hour.
One hour nap.
Right back out on the
power nap. Yeah. And then you said in your story, which was in the Examiner this week, wasn't it?
Yep.
That
Tuesday.
He had a bit of issue with nutrition.
Yeah, see, the mindset he actually didn't make his goal. He wanted to do 600,000. And he only broke the world record by 20,000, which was set by an American athlete who did around 500. And he said the problem was with nutrition. He said in training he'd eaten all the foods for fuel on their own, but never on a mix. And throughout it, he was fueling himself with jam and honey sandwiches, the occasional Haribo, the occasional Jelly Baby, and this
thick, all the major food groups,
high carbohydrate energy drink thing.
Wow.
And he said it was a bit of an oversight on his part to think, yeah, I can consume all these things individually, but all at once, he said around 4 hours in, he started to feel sick and he realized he was in trouble. At every rep, you know.
You think the thing about this, right? So, when we talk about people doing the parish walk or doing marathons, at least you're always on the move, you're seeing something new. This guy, I presume, has just stood on this map for 22 hours.
Yeah, it's going to be certified by Guinness World Records, which is quite a lengthy process, but you film the whole thing, and he had two other Manx personal trainers there sort of certifying it.
Yeah.
And he said, if somebody goes on and breaks his world record, he'll be proud of him, and he said, it's important to mention he did it for charity.
Yeah.
So it was a Movember thing, and he said, yeah, he'd be proud if somebody broke it, and he said he has no desire to do it ever again.
Well, I was going to ask you, you asked him how he felt the day after. And he said he was remarkably okay.
Well, he said, expectedly, it was the worst muscle soreness he'd ever felt in his life, of course. But he said the fact it was just muscle pains and no, like, dodgy joints showed that he'd trained properly for it and done everything correctly. But he said he doesn't feel the need to do it again. He's done now.
I don't blame him.
This just blows my mind because I cannot lift a 20-kilogram suitcase when I'm going on holiday. Yeah. Like, if it's over 18 kilograms, I need people to come and assist me to put
you
it on.
You strike me as the sort of person who can go everywhere with, like, a backpack. Right?
I do, but that shows the difference of, you know, when you're in London and you're changing airports, it's a long time ago now, but when you're changing airports between flights,
those days,
and you've got to get your suitcase through the tube, and, like, everyone's just walking around you, and no one wants to help, and you're, like, just chucking the whole thing down the stairs. That's 18 kilograms.
Sam, you pushed a Mini out. That must be at least 60 kilograms.
Well, I mean, yeah, but that's just getting a car out of some mud, isn't it?
Yeah.
When you hench.
Don't do yourself down, mate.
when you hench, like, yeah. I don't partake in the gym lifestyle. It seems like a lot of
great. No, I do like a 20 minutes Joe Wicks hit workout. I can't even do a push-up, so I can't think I'd be able to lift anything.
Bundles of couriers. What's the sort of weight on one of them?
You're looking at about 14 kilograms maximum on one of those bundles.
It adds up, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I tried to shift the part I've got on my desk and I realised just old papers. I don't, you know, I'm new, so I don't know where they go. You know, so
I will help you with those.
I've got
papers.
Quite an archive building up on my desk.
They just sit on your desk until you're told that it's a fire hazard and someone takes them away.
Yeah. But our fire marshal's off at the moment.
And they are recyclable. We do recycle them.
Who have we got now? Spencer's been doing a fantastic
Spencer
job.
The Bear doesn't count as a fire marshal.
I'm supposed to be doing the fire marshal course in January.
Oh. Well.
But he wears the jacket and no one's died. So
that's a fair point. He is on a clean sheet.
His statistics are good, you know.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, moving on to the feature that's sweeping a nation. Last week, we didn't obviously have a podcast. We were very busy last week. But the week before, we had the one that a few people have actually approached me about, Grace.
The really gross one.
Yeah, about licking flies off a visor on a motorcycle.
Well, gotta get people talking, don't you?
They were talking.
Oh,
yeah,
there we go.
At me, mostly. But yeah, they were talking. So, what would you rather this week, Grace? What's your challenge to the team?
So, as we know, today it's been snowing on the mountain. I've seen a few nice little photos.
Yeah.
So, got me thinking, would you rather live on Snaefell for 10 years? You can go to the little cafe if that's still there. Or have to wear a Christmas jumper for every day for the rest of your life. So, like, if you're going to a funeral, you've got Sam's got one on right now. Merry Christmas, you filthy animal. So, if you're going to a funeral in July,
or your wedding,
or your wedding, baby shower, birth of your child, you've got a Christmas jumper on. So.
Right, let's go around the table. We'll start with Katie this week.
Can it always be different Christmas jumpers that you wear?
Yeah, you can switch up, but it's got to be a Christmas jumper.
There's no limitation on the wardrobe.
To be honest, I think I would go Christmas jumper because I don't like the idea of, like, just having to have friends and loved ones come visit me in Snaefell for 10 years. I want to be able to go wherever I want to go, whenever I want to go, but I don't mind wearing a Christmas jumper for that, if it gives me that freedom.
But if you're on holiday on a beach, Christmas jumper
protects me from sunburn.
Actually, yeah, fair point.
Paul?
I'll save a fortune in SPF.
Is this like you're living in the NSC? Would you rather, like, you are confined to Snaefell?
Yeah, you are confined to Snaefell.
It's quite big, though. It's a bit bigger.
Yeah, you can have a little, you know, stroll around.
I would voluntarily want to live on a mountain. So, but for 10 years, not being able to leave, yeah, I think you have to go with Christmas jumpers and just keep your holidays to colder climates, you know, swap hemispheres.
I don't even know why I'm asking this to you, Sam, because you are Mr. Christmas Jumper, really.
I have a few concerns about living on the mountaintop. Largely.
Even with a pie shop there now.
Yeah, yeah. Largely being that I might turn into the Grinch.
Might turn into?
Yes. I also have the problem of, during the summer, tourists would come. And they may want to try and photograph me. Like,
they'd like bring you like cool presents. They bring you gifts.
I'd throw rocks at them.
Well, you can.
Skid in a dump, Sam of the Mountain.
Yeah. So, also, you say jumper. Could, like, a Christmas sweater vest come into play?
No, it's got to be full.
What about, he's got cardigan.
I'll let you off with the cardigan, but not, like, you know, like a waistcoat.
Can I roll the sleeves up a little bit? Like, you know, just
like Miami Vice.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I mean, I don't like hot countries anyway, so I'll go for jumpers.
I do have this vision of you becoming some sort of hermit, and, like, people like you throwing stuff at people, cans and stuff of... And they're rustling.
refusing to get an electric car, just like they're revving a diesel.
There'd be like, be people on the trams trying to spot you. What was that? Oh, it's Sam. It was a Father Ted episode when Father Jack got out, wasn't there? And to get send the police with a tranquilizer. I've got a feeling it would be like that. At the end of the 10 years, you'd be feral.
Sam, you are basically doing a Christmas jumper advent calendar now anyway.
Yeah. I've bought 2 new ones today as well.
Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Because you didn't have enough already. Right.
How many lads are you up to?
Oh, I don't know. Yeah. To be honest, I've lost count. But you see, basically what happened was I wore this one today. And people were less than impressed.
Because you re-wore one.
I don't remember wearing this.
You did.
Did he?
Yeah.
He asked me as well. He was like, have I worn this before? And I said no. So I think it's
I actually think he wore this like mid-November.
Get up that hill.
So anyway, after some negative feedback from people like Roberta, who obviously our listeners don't know, I decided to go out and buy some more.
So one comment, negative comment, and he spent his salary on Christmas jumpers.
Like Trump, basically.
So when can we expect these to arrive? To 5 working days?
No, I've got them.
Oh!
I bought them locally in Tesco. And
they sell them in Tesco?
Yeah, by the Becky. Oh,
right.
So, they'll make an appearance next week, because tomorrow I've got a special surprise.
Ooh.
Which isn't a surprise if you've spoken to me today, because I've already told everyone.
I don't know. No, I'm looking forward to that. Mm-hmm. So stay tuned to our socials at I Am News Podcast to see what that surprise is. I'm a little bit worried. But before we move on from this, Grace, what would you do, Snaefell?
I feel like I'd probably go Christmas jumper.
Represent.
Yeah. I'm hashtag team Christmas jumper. That was pretty much a universal decision.
I think maybe if you'd asked us that before 2020 had happened, and we've all kind of spent a year place, but one place.
Mm.
It's that.
It is a bit of another Father Ted moment. You know, like where Jack sobers up a little bit. Don't tell me I'm still on that island.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Right, this week in history, Sam, we'll have a look at the Monus Herald from the Tuesday, the 9th of December, 1952. Now, the biggest striking thing for me is the black lines between every column.
Yeah, I spoke to the Oracle himself, John Watson, who says that it's probably a printing error. The lines, if you look at the papers, they have little lines in them.
Mm-hmm.
These are most likely put in upside down, so that's why they're thicker than they should be.
Oh, there you go. Fun fact.
So he reckons that this has happened, and they went, oh, well, we've already started printing now, so I have to keep going. So.
Now, lead story has a bit of it's one of our predecessors, really, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a bit. I'll come to how I found out about this story in a minute, but this is quite sad. It's Tom Quayle, who was the editor of the Monus Herald at the time, who got ran over quite bizarrely just outside this building in 1952. He was run over by a van the first week of December.
Yeah,
it was literally like on the corner of Peel Road and Poor Rose Road, so like right there.
Opposite exit strategy.
I want to just say outside our building.
Okay.
Stop plugging exit strategy. So Tom Quayle, he was the editor of the Monus Herald at the time, and he was ran over, and it's coverage of his funeral and the tributes that have poured in from both on and off Ireland. How I came to find this story, however, is I was looking up information about Hector Duff this week, and in an interview he did with Culture Van a few years ago, which is online, it's about an hour long, it's well worth a listen to, so then you realise, quite get insight into his life, but he says about how he was one of the officers who investigated this crash.
So it was his first fatality? Yeah,
he said it was his first road fatality, yeah, was Tom Quayle.
So,
which it was one of, he could have gone for the Examiner of the same week, because the Examiner, that was their front page news story, was Mona's Herald editor killed. So it was all quite, it's just quite sort of interesting in a weird way, because you've got Tom Quayle at the time was quite a well-known figure, very public figure and very popular figure by the look of it, but it's also this thing of how, you know, sort of the idea of the island coming together around one figure at the time then, and we've obviously now had
Hector, yeah,
our own experience of that of Hector this week.
What were the other stories? Any stories catch your eye, Paul?
Not the stories, I was just looking at the bottom that says lighting up times.
Yes.
And I'm going to go out on a limb and assume that's Christmas lights.
No. So, I queried this afternoon. So apparently, this was a time that you were, by law, had to switch on your car lights. When I said to
a very specific time,
the Oracle, that what is lighting up times, he laughed at me because he thought I was joking. He said, they still do it on the radio. So apparently the radio announced what time you should have your car lights on. I said, one of my fleet of cars. My wife's got, the lights come on automatically when it's below a certain level of darkness. And he was like, oh, right, well, so no. So if we look, so it's Tuesday the 9th of December, so that very day, you should have had your lights on at 4:25 p.m.
But the following day, 4:24 p.m.
And then the day before, after that, 4:24.
That's probably round about sort of just going dark time, isn't it? You know, getting a minute. I don't mean that, I know what I mean. You know, it's sunset sort of thing, isn't it? Because if you look how it's getting closer, as you get closer to December 21st. Yeah,
of course. Anything else catch your eye, Paul, apart from lighting up time?
I should have known that wasn't Christmas lights. They didn't have joyful occasions like that in post-war Isle of Man. I was just looking at the...
I just love the fact that you thought everyone around the Isle of Man in 1952 at 4:24 was like, let's switch the light! Quick, it's 4:24! Switch the light on!
The hope to be seen from space.
It's because it's Mountainous Herald. We don't have the Sefton on the
top left.
What do we have?
We have Ellerslie Fresh Cream.
Ellerslie Farm, obviously still going. I think it's still the Creamery's Farm.
In the bottom right, it's got, now is the time to enjoy your Christmas shopping. And there's a really little sinister Santa. And he does fancy linens for the home.
Oh, of course he does. What else have we got? Oh, we've got the newcomer 5 and 7 ton truck.
But you know what is inappropriate? What story is that underneath?
Which one?
The Tom Quayle.
Oh, the road traffic glitch.
Yeah. The man who was run over by a van.
With it next to an advert for a truck.
Called the newcomer.
Oh dear. Anything else catch your eye, Sam, before we swiftly move on?
Just the idea of gents' warm winter overcoats, made to measure or ready to wear. I quite like a nice overcoat. So it's just... I just thought I'd
share. What were you described as the other day? The equaliser or something like that? Yeah,
somebody shouted equaliser at me as I walked out of the office.
Oh, yeah.
Right, but what is that currency? From 7 to 17 guineas?
We used to pay in guineas.
Oldie currency.
Yeah. Oldie, I thought it was like shillings or...
Nah, you have guineas, which is a different
value. Still do it in horse racing.
You still have guineas as horse racing. You can. I don't know if you'd actually get accepted, but you can still legally pay in guineas in Britain.
I'd love to see you go to the Penny Bank. Isle of Man Bank's Penny Mobile Bank with your guineas and go, right, what are we doing then?
Officially, you can use stamps for currency.
Yeah.
So I think there's a...
You're the type of man that would try that.
Yeah.
Get on the bus. 20.
Where do you get a 20p stamp?
I don't know. How much is a stamp these days?
I don't know.
My mum started booting off because it was 68p to send a Christmas card.
That's a lot of money.
To someone on the Isle of Man.
So, like, a card's like £3, isn't it, these days?
Yeah.
So that's £3.68.
It
should be 62 pence for a small card to the Isle of Man or the UK, or £1.61 for a bigger envelope.
Wow. I'll ask your mum how far she's getting with a 68p plane ticket.
Right, so that was the Mona's Herald of... December the 9th, 1952. If you want to see it in all its glory, it will be in the Examiner next week and in the middle pages, in the spread, as it were. So please do keep a lookout for that.
You're listening to the Isle of Man Newspapers podcast, almost live from Nigel.
Katie, we move on to Yessa training, and it's pertinent today, isn't it? The 3rd of December is the anniversary of this. It was a tragedy.
So today is the 111th anniversary of the sinking of the SS Ellen Vannin. So I didn't know much about this at all, and I have spent all afternoon on Wikipedia. So it was originally built in Glasgow for the steam packet. She was originally the second Mona's Isle and served 23 years under that name. However, in 1883, she was reinvented, so like re-engineered, re-everything, and like full makeover, became the SS Ellen Vannin and went on to serve a further 26 years. So the Ellen Vannin could carry up to 300 passengers and 14 crew, and it mainly went from its base in Ramsey to Whitehaven, Liverpool and Scotland. So by 1909... I just thought I'd written the wrong year then and panicked. The Ellen Vannin was the oldest and smallest in the fleet that the steam packet had, but she was still considered the most reliable, and she'd been carrying the mail when other ships were not leaving the harbour. Like, she'd very, very good bad weather boat. She became a mascot for the company and is often referred to as Lil Daisy. So it was just after 1 a.m. on the 3rd of December 1909 when Ellen Vannin left her home in Ramsey with Captain James Teer. So he had 18 years experience under his... I put under his belt, and then I put to question, is under his captain's hat a term?
Probably not.
Under his hat.
I'd say you could use under his hat.
Okay. Okay, so, and that previous summer he'd been in command of the King Henry. So, but this was his second day on the Ellen Vannin. It was carrying 15 passengers, 21 crew, the mail, and a lot of cargo. So there were 60 tons of cargo, including 60 sheep.
Wow.
Yeah. The departure was moderate, nothing to particularly trouble an experienced captain. However, weather deteriorated rapidly, and by 6:35 a.m, the weather was reportedly a hurricane force 12. And waves were exceeding 24 feet. Oof. Yeah.
That's a lot of feet.
It is a lot of feet. Mm. So I put here, I am fairly new to the world of boats and boat and weather terminology. And I spent a lot of time Googling these things and looking on Wikipedia. And I'm scared Sam is going to correct me if I say things wrong.
She said this, I don't know anything about boats.
But I just thought you are like the master of transport. So, you know, you'll know knots and all these
seasick
things.
I get seasick.
Okay, that's why he sticks to trains.
Yeah. Although if you go on a train and the sea, you get wet.
Okay.
Irritable.
Oh.
Okay,
so the consensus is that the Ellen Vannin had made really good time to its arrival at the lightship, which is at the entrance of the Mersey. However, it's as she entered the approach tunnel, it turned off course and then struck a sandbank, which is where it sunk then in the approach tunnel. But as mentioned before, you've got these 24-foot waves. So it's believed that a large wave overwhelmed the ship and the heavy seas filled it, and it sank by the stem and all passengers and crew were lost.
And sheep.
Well, news reached... There's not a horrible... Like, there's not, like, a really nice story out of this of, like, 60 live sheep turning up. Sorry, I've got your hopes up then. I'm sorry. But news reached Douglas that Friday evening. And at 1900 hours, a telegram arrived saying that the crew of the Formby lightship had seen lifebuoys, bags of turnips, dead sheep.
Aww.
It is the opposite direction that story went, I'm sorry. And a piano floating in the water. And the crew of the lightship had picked up a mailbag, which had contained all letters sent from Ramsey.
Aww.
So 5 days after the ship went down, the first bodies were recovered. It was January 1910 that Captain Teer's body washed ashore in Southport, where it was returned to the Isle of Man for burial. The wreck was destroyed with explosives after it was declared a hazard to the shipping channel. The Board of Trade inquiry declared that the captain was not to blame. The cause had been the extreme weather. Hall Caine, who we've talked about before, urged that a fund was set up to help the dependents of the deceased, and the steam packet contributed £1,000 to that.
Which was a lot of money then. Yeah.
And Caine has also written a poem called The Loss of Ellen Vannin. You can find the names and information about the deceased and their families online. like this, it's very readily available. There was one woman on board and 20 men who were survived by 18 widows and 70 children.
70?
Yes.
Wow.
And the steam packet has never reused the name Ellen Vannin for any of their other ships.
Well, that's, yeah, it is a very sad story. And you sort of got, when they were that close to land, really, you know, they got all the way over into the Starlets and then sort of just to be dashed away at the last moment.
There is, on Culture Vannin's Facebook page today, they put up a poem by the Manx bard Zoe Cannell, and it's really good poem. I very much recommend you go and read it. Even if you're not into your poetry, I do have a happier thing to end on. So, as we discussed a year ago in the podcast, which you can go back and listen to an old episode and find it, it is that time for that weird Manx celebration where they parade around Colby with a dead hen.
Yes.
Yeah.
And have, so you go to Colby Fair with a dead hen in the air, and then you bury it and have like a mock funeral and sing a song about Catherine's hen being dead. And then the men go and drink and eat the meat from the chicken. And I don't know what it's for. Maybe we found out. Maybe I just can't remember. I don't think there was a particular purpose.
No.
But that's December 6th.
Oh, so we're coming up to, all down to, so 3 days, we can all go down to Colby with our dead chickens.
Yeah.
Nice. There you go. As always, Katie, fascinating stuff. Right, that's about it for this week's podcast. If we piqued your interest in any of the stories, please do remember you can get them online by going on to imtoday.co.im/subscribe.cfm.
Yes.
And you can buy our digital editions there for the princely sum of a pound, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's now £1.20 for a newspaper.
If you're buying a physical copy.
Yeah, but still a pound online.
So that's for... bargain. And all the back catalogue are there, aren't they? All the favourites.
Yep, right back to like 2015.
And there you go. So if you've missed one, you thought, oh, I really want to look at the Courier from November 4th, 2008. That wouldn't be there.
No.
2016's version would be there.
Yes.
Yeah. Before we go, much coming up in the Examiner, Sam?
Yeah.
Anything you want to tease the listenership with?
No.
No. Oh.
Suddenly a man of mystery.
Exactly.
Paul?
There'll likely be a piece coming up about the new ice skating rink.
Oh, yes.
Which has been set up
in Douglas for the first
time. Isn't it?
Yeah. So there'll be more about that, yes. Mm. Katie? Anything going on in the world of sales and distribution?
There's lots happening at the moment. We've got a massive price freeze on for our vouchers for the newspaper. So if you do want to get the actual paper copy of the newspaper, but you don't want to pay £1.20, you want to pay 88 pence, give us a call.
Give Katie a call.
Nice.
Grace is in.
Sold.
Grace, anything you want to plug or promote?
12 Gifts of Christmas is still running. You can find out details on how to enter in The Examiner and Independent.
Now, I noticed, again, to people that don't work in this office, India had to pose with a...
Yes.
I think we should spread that out throughout the team. Like, I'd like to
so
see Paul
individual.
with a maybe another gift. Maybe.
With a hair gift from Utopia.
Yeah. I think it would look... Because that would look well, wouldn't it?
It'd be, yeah, it would. There's, like, some B&B stays, so we could get Sam in the Manhattan Hotel in a bed.
That took a turn, I
think for various reasons, I'm not going to comment on Grace's suggestion.
Well, you never know.
Yeah. Right, that's it for this week. Please do tell your friends about the podcast if you enjoyed it. We're available on...
Don't if you didn't.
Yeah, especially if you didn't. We're on all good and even some bad podcast channels. Just search IOM News Podcast.
Bye for now.